Just before Hurricane Ian hit in Florida in late September, wreaking all kinds of havoc, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar said that if people voted Democrat, then essentially there would be no more hurricanes. You can't make this stuff up. A lot of people who are brought up into the climate change alarmism believe that hurricanes and other natural disasters are caused or at least exacerbated by our use of fossil fuels instead of turning to renewable sources of energy like wind turbines, solar panels, electric cars. Geologist Greg Wrightstone opposes what could be called climate change hysteria, and he's written a book called Inconvenient Facts. He serves as the executive director of the CO2 Coalition, which holds that CO2 is actually beneficial, not harmful, to the Earth. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Greg Wrightstone back to the program. Greg, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. You may not be aware, but our home is located about 20 miles south of Tampa, so we sustained some damage. I need a new roof, but otherwise, we're alive and the home is still standing. So I've got some frontline experience there.
Oh my, I didn't realize that. I pictured you. Thank God you survived.
We escaped Pennsylvania last year and moved to Florida.
Oh no. You know, it's amazing. I've been living in South Florida for 37 years now. And I remember after Hurricane Andrew hit in 1992, and that was so devastating in certain parts, especially about, you know, in the south of Miami. But I remember seeing some houses where the roof was gone and somebody had literally spray painted on the house. House for sale, half off.
Well, we've just got a hole. It's not a hole in the roof, just an area where the shingles were about a 10 by 10 where it was removed. But we had a good undercoating, and I understand the roofer's coming tomorrow or the next day to fix it. So that's good.
Wow. Well, welcome to Florida. So,
thanks.
So what are your thoughts on the idea that some people like Amy Klobuchar would say, oh, you know, vote Democrat, then the, you know, we'll solve the climate change problem and then we won't be having these hurricanes anymore?
Well, she's wrong. Number one, it's facts. I've proven it. And if I could show you the charts, I would. But I looked at hurricanes have actually been declining. They're not increasing. And we know that because, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, says the best way to look for evaluate the number of hurricanes going back to maybe 1850 is by using land falling hurricanes. The satellite era only goes back to about 1980 or so. So we've got 40 years of satellite data where we've been able to capture every hurricane, but taking it back any further, they say use landfalling hurricanes, because if a hurricane made landfall somewhere along the Gulf Coast or the Eastern Seaboard, we would know about it, and it's been cataloged. And so I took a look at first Florida landfalling hurricanes to find that that's actually been in decline. And then I took a look at landfalling hurricanes across the country to find that those have been in decline also since 1850. And then I took a look at every single state bordering the Gulf of Mexico and the Eastern Seaboard. The only state that had an uptrend in landfalling hurricanes was Mississippi. And it wasn't by much, but it was a slight increase. So we see pretty well documented that, at least for the United States, hurricanes have not increased and have been in decline. So this flies in the face. And the same, in particular, tornadoes. They're caused by different things from hurricanes, but nonetheless, tornadoes definitely, big ones have been definitely in decline for several decades. It completely flies in the face of what we're being told about man-made global warming contributing to more extreme weather. We also look at the MDAT data set, which is all things extreme weather related, to find that after they build out their measuring system and 2000, since 2000, extreme weather events have been in decline. And the big thing, if we look at extreme weather-related deaths, they've declined 98% since 1900.
Wow, that's amazing. Possibly because of all the warnings we're getting, you know. In fact,
yeah.
I've often said to my friends and relatives in California, I'd rather live in a place where there's potential hurricanes because at least there's plenty of warning, as opposed to a place where, you know, you have to deal with earthquakes where there's sometimes virtually no warning. But now it's
exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly. We look at, you're right, the 98% decline is likely mostly related to better predictive abilities. If you were in Galveston in 1911, you had no idea you were about to be swamped by a Category 5 hurricane. But now we can see it coming and we can get out of the way.
Okay. So one of the things that the left is really trying to push is electric cars. And in fact, in the state of California, after the year 2035, if Governor Newsom gets his way, though, you won't even be able to buy, or at least the new cars being sold would be electric cars. It's my understanding that after Hurricane Ian, people were happy to have fossil fuel-based cars because they would work and they could get around, as opposed to electric cars, which don't do well, you know, around water.
Well, yeah, when we saw that, there was a spate of EVs catching on fire because these lithium-ion batteries are famously unstable. And so what we saw were these lithium-ion batteries and the EVs were catching on fire, and some in the homes. The one I looked at, their home survived only to be destroyed by their EV in the garage that caught on fire, and then the house got burnt down. So they survived the hurricane but died by electric vehicle.
Oh, my goodness. That's just horrible, because that's what the left is pushing. My wife is from Norway, and her family is still there. Do you know, by the year 2025, just not even 3 years away, just about, they're going to be making it so that you can only buy new cars, and those new cars can only be electrical. And they'll be phasing out and making it difficult to have the fossil fuel cars. And it's all based on this, you know, theory of man-made catastrophic climate change, and electric cars are the thing as opposed to fossil fuel cars.
Yeah, well,
I don't think
Norway's,
this is good.
Norway is unique, possibly of all the countries in the world, because they get the bulk of their electricity is generated with hydroelectric, and it's because their unique geography and their mountains and the fjords, they're able to create these hydroelectric dams that provide. And that's reliable, abundant, and affordable energy that comes from hydroelectric. Most other countries in the world can't do that. And I don't think that we would be building any hydroelectric facilities in the United States anytime soon. Could you imagine the brouhaha that would ensue if we wanted to dam up the Grand Canyon, the Colorado at the Grand Canyon, or the dam up the New River at the New River Gorge in West Virginia, or the other scenic canyons that would be great for hydroelectric projects. Well, on one hand, the environmentalists say, well, global warming is an existential threat, but we can't dam up these canyons because it's so scenic. And I like to run my kayak down the river, shooting the rapids. So I guess some things we need to sacrifice, and others we can't.
Okay, but how about a comment on electric cars in general? My son-in-law made an interesting observation. He said, look, let's suppose they want to replace all cars run by fossil fuels with electric cars, but there's not even enough materials around the world, at least the way electric cars are constituted now and the way they're run now. There's just not enough of the raw materials to be able to do that.
Well, it's not only that he's correct, but it's also they look at, oh, well, it's a non-polluting source of energy. Well, okay, once you've got it built and up, but what happens at the front end and the back end? At the front end, you've got to do open pit mining for the rare earths and critical minerals that are needed, the copper, the chromium, the cobalt, the lithium. rare earth elements with bizarre names like neodymium and things like that. These are open pit mines that are required. They're using slave labor in China, and they're using child labor in the Congo to mine these things. And so it's a horribly environmentally degradable situation at the mining to do these. And then at the back end, the lifespan of these facilities may be less than they say, maybe 20 or 25 years. In reality, we're seeing less than that. So let's just say it's 20 years. Each one of those wind turbines will need to be replaced. Each one of those solar panels need to be replaced. Can you imagine, too, the solar panels? There are dust storms that sweep through the Southwest that has the best suited for solar panels. Well, these dust storms pit the glass, and you're going to have to replace all that or replace the panels anyway in 20 or 25 years. So you're going to have all these. You've got the upfront costs and then the replacement costs. None of these are considered when they look at the economics. And then what do you do with the wind turbine blades? They're unrecyclable. They have to be buried in landfills, and these giant blades need to be cut up, and they fill up the landfills extremely fast. We seem to be more worried about plastic straws that went up one turtle's nose in the ocean, but we're not worried about what the ramifications are of this dirty energy that's required for an electrification of the United States.
Well, this is so amazing, though, because this is what so much of this battle, the battle over the pump is all about and so forth. It's all based on this, again, climate change alarmism. And it's my understanding that even if all the steps were taken, that if we follow the Paris protocols and the Tokyo or whatever it was, all these different protocols that the leftists come up with to try and fight man-made, catastrophic, so-called global warming, that at the end of the day, all they would do at the most is maybe reduce the temperature of the Earth by less than 1 centigrade by the year 2100 or 2100. So that's not very much.
It's not.
Suicide as a culture.
Yeah, if you're worried about a 1 degree change in temperature, if you're fearful of that, here's my advice to you. Sell your home and move 150 miles further north. Problem solved. And you'll get that 1 degree less of warming average through the year. It's ridiculous. What they're warning us about, we get a higher temperature change between noon and 2 p.m. nearly every day. So we should... We're looking at the modest warming we've seen since 1900 is only about 0.8 of a degree. Well, that's not alarming to me. We'll probably have about the same amount between now and 2100. And I like to talk too about the relationship between history of the rise and fall of temperature and the rise and fall of civilizations.
By the way, we have about 1 minute left, but go ahead and close on this.
Yeah, we find that the three previous warming periods were all warmer than today. Each one of those warming periods was called a climate optima because humanity prospered. And so it was those previous warming periods were beneficial for mankind. We should celebrate that.
And yet the whole idea, the world is in the grip of this false idea. I'd like to close on that. And by the way, your website is inconvenientfacts.xyz.
And the CO2 coalition is co2coalition.org.
But it does seem like the whole world is in the grip of this false idea, and we've just got to slug through and just expose the truth. Greg Wrightstone, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.